God has been writing the story of Mosaic for over 16 years now. And through that time, much has changed. We have lived in rented spaces. We have lived in small buildings, and now we live in big buildings. We were once the home for just a few dozen people, and now we are the home for thousands. And though much has changed, one thing has not. Our unwavering, uncompromising, unapologetic commitment to the Word of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to His glory and His glory alone. Because of this clarity and this commitment, we have seen a church filled with people that recognize that every circumstance, every resource, every relationship, in fact, every moment is an opportunity for us to make the gospel beautiful. Though we often think that it is the big decisions, the pivotal moments that most change the world and shape our stories, it turns out that it's the string of days, hours, that most profoundly shape the way we live our lives. We want to live every moment by Jesus and His power, through Jesus and His mission, and for Jesus and His glory. I am continually inspired by the wonderful stories among you, this church. I would love for you to watch just a few of those stories now, and I hope you are as inspired by them as I have been.
I've found that there are basically two things that God requires of us. He wants us to be available and dependable to do His work. We can all do that. He uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary results. We have been active in our churches since we got married in the early 70s.
Jack is an elder. We have taught equipping classes. We have a heart for young marrieds. We did just retire. We each worked our last days on the same day. We were just excited to hit the floor running and get all involved more so.
In retirement, while your work life is coming down, you have to find other avenues to plug into. It's also important to continue serving your community and serving your church. As you get to meet new people, you get to form new friendships and fellowships, you make a real connection with the people that are in those groups. Peter was talking about gifts that we have and how we are stewards of those gifts for God. We've got a lot of gifts and talents and time, and it's up to us to use those for God's glory. We're Jack and Camille Wiss, and we're living every moment in retirement to serve Jesus Christ in all that we do.
My name is Obi Diaz, and I had an opportunity to start radio when I was 17 years old in high school. And now here I am, 21 years later, doing radio in Central Florida. So I've been able to bring the gospel into the workspace, which is a very weird environment for those people who know the corporate world. You don't really talk about that stuff. And because of the format that I'm on a country music station that allows me to talk about faith, hunting, my family. Growing up as a Christian, I never thought I would be the type of person, though, who would be very outspoken with the gospel. And now it's almost like I can't keep it inside. And I feel it more than ever as I mature. I feel that sense of mission. So there's a really cool fraternity that we started here in Winter Garden called the Sons of Thunder. This group, at the core, are Jesus followers. And what the mission is to get the outsiders to come in and to get that fragrance of what it's like to hang out with guys who have Jesus at the core. Every moment is an opportunity to be bold. I'm Obi Diaz, and in every single one of life's spaces, I'm making every moment count.
My husband and I have been married for 20 years this year, and we have 5 children. I had always been hoping to be a stay-at-home mom, and that option was there. So our oldest now is Matthew, he's 18, and then we have Olivia, who's 16, Brianna is 14. Sarah is 12 and Joshua is 9. I think one of my biggest inspirations was my parents. They helped me understand that I could receive His love and live in that freedom. They were far from perfect, you know, as we all are. And my parents would often say, you know, anything good comes from Jesus. And so I saw them being such an example of giving God all the glory and trusting Him ultimately for everything good that could happen in their lives and in their children's lives. When I embarked on parenting, I had that concept that, you know, this is hard, but God is faithful. You know, I had that idea that, you know, I know how to do this. And I realized very, very quickly, within days of being a mom, that I don't have what it takes. And so I was again reminded of my parents pointing me back to Jesus and say, Jesus has what it takes. You live in Him. You follow Him. You abide in Him. And He will give you what it takes. The most exciting thing, though, is communicate with my kids and hear their heart and being able to see them grow in their love for Jesus, for each other, for others, and communicating with them through the hardships and the disappointment and their own struggles. My name is Michelle Pine, and I'm trusting God in every moment as I raise my children.
So the Disney campus is very unique. It is specifically catered to cast members, so it's mostly young adults like me. When I was in my college program, I had to take the bus for a while. And I just remember that was like the loneliest I've ever been. I just made it a rule that if I'm working with people in the college program or ICPs or people who take the buses to and from work, I made a rule that no one's allowed to take the bus if I'm working with them. So as part of that, I felt led to sell my little Ford Fiesta, that was a great little car, and buy a Honda Odyssey, which is like the ultimate mom minivan. It has a DVD player. It's really cool. I basically just want to be a college program soccer mom. I just realized that's a really practical thing that doesn't cost me anything. It takes me maybe like 20 minutes out of my way to stop by college program housing. It just like makes their whole day because they don't have to stand on a bus for an hour and a half to get home. As just a cool way to show like, hey, like God loves you and cares about you and you are seen and you are important. If God enabled me to have a car, who am I to withhold that blessing from my coworkers of being able to ride in that car? Another thing when I was in the college program is sometimes I wouldn't go to church because I didn't really feel comfortable asking people for rides. And so I teamed up with some people and started a shuttle squad. And we go and we pick up CPs from college program housing. We've had people who told us, like, I never would have even, like, come to church, but I saw you post that you had a car coming to pick me up, and life is built up of minute by minute by minute by minute. I'm learning that following Jesus is a lot less about going and doing holy things, and it's a lot more about realizing that every minute is holy because every minute belongs to God. Sometimes the most important thing that I'm going to do today won't feel important at all while I'm doing it because I don't know that it's important, but God has an eternal plan for it. Hi, I'm Suze, and I am learning to live every moment in the awareness of the presence of God.
Every one of these moments matters. Every one of these moments is important. And as we live in each of these moments, by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus, that trajectory makes the gospel beautiful and changes the world. So, we come together as a community, and we get sent out together as a community. And as we go into our individual spaces, we take every ordinary moment, and it becomes an opportunity to become an extraordinary moment as we live to make the gospel beautiful through it and to bring glory to God. And as we have done that as a church so well, more people have shown up, the needs have grown, and the opportunities to change the world have grown. And we want to be ready to make those changes as a community, as we capture every moment and make every moment matter by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus.
What's up, Mosaic? Man, what exciting stuff it is to see what God has been up to and what God is up to in us, through us, and for us, isn't it? It's just an amazing thing to kind of just be able to step back and watch. We are entering a unique season in our church's life as we look forward to the next 2 years. In a similar way, as we entered a unique season in our church's life 4 years ago, when God began to call us and invite us as a church into some extraordinary spaces. 4 years ago, we were engaged in a vision, an initiative to see something realized that God was stirring in our hearts. And as we sought God 4 years ago on what it was he was leading us into, what he laid on our hearts is that he wanted us as a church to get loud, to get louder than we've ever been for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the redemptive story of God, to make sure that we propelled ourselves on behalf of Christ to get into the world and make an actual difference. So we said we're going to get loud and actually change the world. And 4 years ago, we jumped into that space. That included this space that we're sitting in now as part of that vision God called us into. And as we were able to engage in this space because of our collective engagement with our time, energy, and resources, this space afforded us a certain amount of visibility for people to be able to engage in what's going on. And so as we found ourselves on Highway 50 and a space in our city that was a little bit more visible, people started showing up in mass. Over the last 3 years, we have seen over 1,000 new people join our story. And we have seen those people engage, many of you are here, in the story of the gospel, both as recipients of the gospel and then participants in the gospel, as all of you, along with me, are engaging in our community, in our world, for the sake of Christ. And that's been amazing to watch. Along with that journey entering into our space, we saw an extraordinary amount of children show up as well. They were coming with you all, and that's awesome. 4 years ago, we had approximately 300 children on a weekend move into the space, and now we have almost 800 children on a weekend move through this space. And so our ability to become a place that is loud for the gospel in the lives of our children has been exceptional and awesome to watch. And because of that, our children are growing up with the assumption that they are recipients and participants in the great, glorious grace of God through his gospel. And that is an incredible space to become loud. And this growth of numeric numbers of people showing up is, in fact, not the story, is it? It is a piece of the story, but it is not the story, because the story is what God has done through us as a collective. Over the last 4 years, we have seen amazing things happen. 4 years ago, when we entered the Get Loud initiative, we had under 20 global partners. Global partners are the people we engage with significantly with our resources, time, energy, and emotional and spiritual engagement. And over the last 4 years, because we've collectively engaged, we have over 50 global partners that we support significantly around the world. That is in 22 countries now that we are engaged. Not only that, but listen to this. Over the last 4 years, our church has gone on 60 missions trips around the world, 60. And almost 600 people have been on those trips around the world, engaging in justice and mercy partners and church planting partners around the world. Not only that, but we have seen 84 families adopt children into their forever homes, and many of the multiple children. So that's not 84 kids, that's just 84 families. And then we have almost 10 families currently engaged in the process and more being inspired beyond them. And that's not even touching foster care and safe families. And we as a church over the last 3 years have spent over 9,000 hours through Mission Serve in our local community, caring for the nonprofits in our local community and serving them, the schools, the nonprofits, the spaces. And that's not you all individually, that's just us as a collective. Folks, when you talk about getting loud, God has allowed us to get loud in some incredible spaces. We have become a church of extraordinary influence in our local community because of what God has allowed us to be a part of and how he has played into and through our story. And now God is stirring in us again, as he has the last couple of months in the leadership, to move into the next unique part of our story. And as we began to sense God stirring us into a vision, we began to seek him and say, God, what is it that you want us to engage in? What story are you unfolding in our midst? And God began to show us as a leadership that he wants us to move as we continue to get loud into a space where our getting loud becomes more and more and more specific in the ordinary everyday moments of our lives. You see, when we first started Get Loud, we kind of thought big, and big is not bad, right? We want to change the world in a big way, in the big moments, the big things, the extraordinary spaces. But it turns out in many ways that it is the string of ordinary everyday moments put together, focused on the redemptive nature and reality of God, that ultimately changes the world profoundly. And that's where we want to step into. We want to press into those spaces. Our worship team, when we engaged in this building, the very first weekend we entered this space, we asked Zach, our worship pastor and our worship team, to ask God to give them a song, to write a song that would ultimately capture the reason why all this is happening. And they prayerfully entered into that space and wrote a song we now know well as Every Moment. And it's a song we sing here quite a bit, and it's a song that basically shouts, this right here, this is by Jesus and through Jesus and for Jesus. That's what this is for. And that song was sung for the very first time as we entered this new space. And it has become sort of our little war cry of, we're here to make every moment count for Jesus. And it turns out he was already up to stirring our hearts into this new vision back then. That particular vision was born out of a verse written in the book of Colossians that Paul is writing also from Rome. So we're in Ephesians right now. Paul will write the book of Colossians as well from Rome while in prison there. And the book of Colossians, going out to the church in Colossae, like the book of Ephesians, is to prepare that church for living their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, with their lives focused and fixed on Jesus. And in that book, in its early parts, there is this beautiful verse that Paul writes out of kind of this declaration of God's sovereignty and God's supreme nature, that this is all about him, all because of him, everything that exists is in him. And he writes these words in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So verse 15 simply says, he, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And then it says this, this is about Jesus. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So listen, do you notice in that little passage that the statement is which things? All things. Is there anything that does not fit into the category of all? No, when you use the word all, you mean all. And so there is nothing beyond all. And that means that all things were created by Christ. All things were created through Christ, and all things were created for Christ and his glory. And so what we determined is that God was calling us through his journey with us to begin to fix and focus our attention, not just on the big moments where we can make big change and get loud, but begin to focus on the every moments that seemingly to us are super ordinary, but they're not ordinary at all. And that those moments would become moments from the moment I wake up to brushing my teeth, to driving to the spaces I have to go to engaging with my family, my neighbors, my coworkers, to the ordinary moments at my desk while doing my work or with my kids while raising them or stepping into things, that every one of those moments belong to Jesus. Why? Because Colossians says, which moments belong to Jesus? All of them. And so why wouldn't we go and redeem all of them. And that's what we want to do. And we want to make sure that as we step into becoming a church that is fixed and focused on realizing that there are no ordinary moments. Every moment is an opportunity for the redemptive reality of Christ being made known. We want to do that by Jesus's power, through his mission, and for his glory. And that is what God is calling us into as a church. So here's what we're going to do. Over the next 2 years, we are going to engage strategically in helping to get you all ready and me ready to be able to enter every ordinary moment of our lives with our minds set on things above and our eyes fixed on Jesus, so that every ordinary moment strung together minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, until we take our last breath, becomes a moment that matters for the kingdom of God. And that is going to be a big deal. That is going to take a ton of hard work, because it is not the natural space in which we live, right? How many of you, like me, go through an entire day, ordinary moments, and you're like, oh, I think God was a part of it, right? This is how our days often unfold. And it's not until we hit some crazy, extraordinary moment that we realize this is all about God. Well, we want to change that. So in order to become a church that is going to effectively help us as the organism of God, the body of Christ, become a people that are redeeming every moment, we need to be able to strategically unfold a plan to do that. Churches that don't have a strategy don't get a whole lot done. And if we don't get a whole lot done, then the people that are going to be the recipients of that detriment are you and I. We will be ill-equipped for redeeming every moment. And then the kingdom of God will have to go do its thing without us. And I want to be a participant in that. I don't want God to redeem this planet and I didn't take part. And he doesn't need me, but he sure invites me to be part of it. And I want to be ready to engage with that. So the question then becomes, how on earth are we as a church going to make sure that we get you ready and me ready to go and redeem every moment? And we have a very particular plan over the next 2 years to do that. And that plan fits into three primary categories. These three primary categories are very simple. One, we want to equip our family. Hello, you're the family. If you call this church home, if this is the space in which you have engaged communally, if you say Mosaic is where I attend church and where I'm part of church, then you are family. Some of you here are brand new. This is your first or second time here. And listen, we hope this becomes a phenomenal, awesome place and that you become family. But right now, you're kind of looking in at what the family does around you. You know what I'm saying? So much of this is just for you to go, oh, that's how this works. A lot of this is really for those of us that say, this is our family, because you all that are new, I want you to relax, take a deep breath. We expect nothing of you yet because you're new, and you should expect nothing of us yet because you're new, but soon we will get to know each other, and then we'll be able to run hard together. The rest of you that call this home, we want to equip you to be able to be ready to be redemptive in every moment. Then we are going to make sure that we engage as a collective, as a church, in impacting the world. Our job is not just to equip you to impact the world. It is that we are collectively impacting the world as well. It's not an either or, it's a both and. You should be impacting the world because we're equipping you well, and we should be impacting the world together as a church, as a collective. So we want to make sure that we are strategic in impacting the world as a collective. And then we want to make sure that we are continuing to expand the story. Why are we expanding the story? Because as more and more people engage in the story, we want to make sure we have the room logistically and the room from a time bandwidth standpoint, from staffing and volunteers, to be able to meet the needs of that growing congregation so that we can effectively equip them. If we are simply trying to manage growth without being strategic, then growth will overrun us and we will no longer do a good job equipping the family or impacting impacting the world, and we don't want that. So we want to make sure that we are expanding our story. So the question then comes, okay, that sounds great. If we are going to prepare as a church to redeem every moment for the sake of Christ, how on earth are we going to then kind of flush out these three realities? And here's what it looks like. I'm going to go through this just quick high level for you so that you can kind of go, oh, that's what that means. And you'll understand that this strategy is not just a brand or a brochure. It is a reality that we are working on. So let's begin with the first one, equipping our family. How on earth are we going to equip our family? It's very, very simple. We're going to accelerate ministry at every level, including worship, kids, students, young adults, and missional communities. Why? Because there's more and more people in each ministry. Student ministries, 4 years ago, 50 students on a Wednesday night. Now 300 students on a Wednesday night. You know what that means? That means a bunch more resources, a bunch more leaders, a bunch more people, and a bunch more staff are needed to be able to effectively equip those students. Yeah, we can babysit those students with a couple people, but we don't babysit students, we don't babysit children, and we don't babysit adults. We equip students, we equip children, and we equip adults to be people that are redeeming every moment. And so if we're going to equip people well, then we need to accelerate ministry at every level. We need to resource Mosaic Kids to serve even more children with special needs than ever before. I don't know if you know this, but we have well over 100 children with unique special needs that are part of our children's ministry that are integrated fully because they are beautiful and gifted and a part of the kingdom of God and should be on mission just like everybody else. And their unique special needs are just a part of the way that God will use them in unique special ways. And so we want to get behind them. But the trouble is in special needs world that a lot of times a church like ours with all the people and the noise is extremely disruptive to children that have some special needs. And we want to equip our children's ministry to become even better than they already are and have even more resources than ever to meet the unique needs of our children with special needs so that they too can live in the gospel on mission, participating with the beautiful story of God. We want to make sure that they have as much opportunity to redeem every moment as the rest of us do. And we want to make sure our children's ministry is ready for that. We want to increase our commitment to leadership and life development for men and women. Bottom line is, as we have grown into a much larger church than we've been before, we want to make sure that we are engaged in leading the men and the women in this place in their uniqueness, empowering all of you as men and as women to be able to lead and live out your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, redeeming each moment. And so we recognize it's the time in our church's life where we not only have missional communities and ministry teams and other things, but that we focus on men and women in their shepherding and do it uniquely. And we want to strategically position the staff to meet the demands of a fast-growing church. 2018, we were marked in Outreach Magazine as the 8th fastest-growing church in the nation. That is not like a woo thing. It's just a fact. It is what it is. Whether you want it or don't want it is an irrelevancy. It just is what it is. And when a church grows that fast, what tends to happen is that the staff that are heading up all of the volunteers and moving all the forces, they get overrun by the growth. Then they get exhausted and burned out, and you have staff turnover. Staff leave and new staff come. Those new staff roll in without the DNA of the history of the church, and they begin to handle all of this growth, not from an equipping standpoint, but from a logistics standpoint. And before you know it, you have a giant church that's doing logistics really well, but no one's actually being equipped. And we have no interest in that story. So we want our staff to be well poised to be able to engage in what it is we're called to do here, which is equipping our family. So we need to make sure that we can meet the staffing demands of a fast-growing church. Now, all of you here that call this church home, you guys pour in some way, and many of you pour in financially. And we want you to know that when you pour in financially here, you are participating in redeeming every moment of this story as well. So we do want to be transparent with you and say, these things don't just happen. They happen in part because many of us give of our time, energy, and talent. But they also happen because many of us give of our resources. So one of the ways we redeem all the moments is by obeying God in sharing our resources with the work he does. When we do that, we're able to affect ministry. This particular part of the next 2 years is going to cost us $11 million. And you go, $11 million, what's that for? It is for every single part of ministry that happens here. And why do we do that ministry? That's right, so we can be the coolest church in town. That's it, you got it. No, that's not the reason. We do it because we want to equip people like you and I who call this church home to live redemptively. And then that $11 million of work here translates into all of the hours, time, energy, and resources you all spend redeeming all of those moments out there, which is exponentially more significant than what we're doing in here. And that's what we want to engage in. So equipping our family over the next 2 years will cost us $11 million. Our current budget is over a two-year period is $10 million. So it's not like that number is like, ooh, we just pulled it out of a hat. Here, $11 million. It's like, no, we know what it costs to do this. We've looked at the next 2 years, and that's what it's going to look like. The second thing that we want to do is we want to impact our world. Why are we wanting to impact our world? Because God is inviting us to look at every moment and redeem it, to engage in every part of our world, not just internally, but externally. We want to be engaged in our city, we want to be engaged in the globe, and we want to make a difference. And so as we collectively impact the world, because we hope you're individually impacting the world with the gospel, as we equip you, this is what that's going to look like. First and foremost, we want to empower and expand justice and mercy partnerships around the globe and right here in Orlando. We serve two groups of people from a global partnership standpoint and locally. Either ministries that are at work in justice and mercy issues that are connected to the local church that is healthy, or church planters planting churches that have a heart for justice and mercy. Do you see, we one way or the other, the local church is involved and the local church is doing justice and mercy. Otherwise, you are not one of our global partners. And so as we engage in that, we have a ton of extraordinary partners locally and globally that we have vetted and we want to get behind financially and with our spiritual and emotional energy. But the reality is we need the resources to expand that. And so we have 52 partners right now globally. We want to increase that significantly. The partners are ready. They're vetted. We can do it. We just need the resources. Then we want to increase the number of Acts 29 church planters we support in Florida, Latin America, South America, and the northeast of the U.S. You see a very particular strategy there. Though we have partners in 22 different countries now, our focal point for church planting, it's not our exclusive space, but it is our focal point, is Florida, the U.S., and Latin and South America. Here's why. Florida is our local state, and we should be caring for our state by planting more churches in it. We hope we're not the only one, because that would be terrible. We want lots of healthy churches here in Florida, and we want to help plant them and fund them. Then the northeast of the U.S., that's our country. We want to serve our country with church planting. The northeast is a crazy hard space to plant churches. Half of you come from the northeast, and you know why you left, right? Because you're down here now. And so we know that's a hard space. It's freezing cold, and people are miserable because of that. No, I'm just kidding. It's a hard space to plant church, and we want to get behind churches up there. And then Latin and South America, the other half of you are here from there. So there's two of you that came from Florida, right? The rest of you are from Latin America or in the Northeast. So we want to make sure we're supporting those two spaces. But there is revival happening in Latin America, that we see the gospel-centered church rising up, and we want to get behind that because we believe Latin America and South America are going to be part of the next great global missions movements, and we want to be able to say that we played a small part in them becoming the church they need to be. And then we want to make sure that we increase our ability to serve Mosaic families who are stepping into adoption, foster care, and safe families. Look, folks, when we start talking about redeeming every moment, here's one of the ways, right? Make every moment in your home part of the mission that you live. And then suddenly you're like, whoa, no choice, gotta do it. When you step into safe families, foster care, or adoption, these are spaces that certainly initially and then ongoingly require a tremendous amount of energy, resources, and reality, because everybody involved, those stepping into it and those being recipients of it, come in hard, and it becomes a hard space. It tests marriages, tests families, tests the hearts of children, tests everything. And we don't want to be a church that calls people into these spaces and then goes, good luck, good luck. If you die, we'll be praying for you. No, no, we want to be a church that says we call you into it, we get behind you with it. That means we want to financially support, emotionally support, staffing-wise support the people that are stepping into these spaces so that their marriages survive, their families survive, and the children that they are stepping into experience the beauty of the gospel in all of the moments of those homes. And we want to be able to do that. And then we want to create pathways to equip other churches for greater health and gospel impact through external leadership. Because of the position we're in now, especially in how loud we've gotten nationally, there are a lot of churches that are seeking out advice from us, and we get to bring the gospel to the table with them and say, here's how we see the gospel unpacked and unfolding in our midst. And for many of these churches, it is a clarity and a vision they've never had before. And so we're seeing them engage in many of the spaces we're now engaged in, and it has been a unique privilege that is increasing. And every time we step in, those churches are asking for resources. And then when we call into those spaces of resource, guess what happens? We go, we don't have any. Because we're so busy doing all this, we don't put anything we learn on paper or on video so that people can have access to it. We want to spend some resources getting the information we've learned in children's ministry with children with special needs or student ministries or leadership or strategy and make it available to the rest of the church so they can use it and learn from it. And we want to make sure we do that. That impacting the world. If you are generous with your resources here, you are participating in this, because $2 million of our next 2 years of budget goes to impact in the world. We push that money and invested in outward realities, and we are incredibly grateful that we get to spend that much money on seeing outside things invested in, shaped, and changed. And then finally, we want to make sure that we are expanding our story. Expounding our story, creating the space and room for people to engage, comes into four categories. They're very simple. Expanding the space here, expanding the space at Disney, stepping into campusing over the next 2 to 4 years, and the Opportunity Fund that I will tell you about in a second. But to tell you about expanding our space, I could stand here and talk to you, or I could show you. And I thought showing you would be a ton more fun. So take a minute and take a look at this video as you see what it means that we are stepping into expanding our space. Watch.
It's hard to believe that this great home that we call Mosaic Winter Garden was once an ugly, old, abandoned mess. It was amazing to watch the transformation take place as this building was redeemed into a great new home. What you may not know is that when we did phase one back in 2017, we only renovated about 2/3 of the building. We take stewardship seriously here at Mosaic, and we don't build things we can't afford. So we master planned all 78,000 square feet, and then we built out just enough to get into the building and start having gatherings. After welcoming 1,000 new people into our church family and adding more gatherings, it's time to fully maximize this facility for the benefit of our whole church. It's kind of hard to imagine what 78,000 square feet looks like when you're actually in the building, so I came up here on the roof so that you could see it from above. Take a look at the area marked out in blue. That's what we've already built out and are using every week. Our hope is to finish this last 28,000 square feet with more room for kids ministry, as well as dedicated space set aside for adult needs on Sundays and throughout the week.
Mosaic Kids currently sees close to 800 children every weekend. That's birth to sixth grade. When we first moved into this beautiful building, we were so excited. We have 16 classrooms. We were going to be able to take the 200 children who we have right now who are meeting in the city. They were going to get to have great breakout space in small group rooms, and we did have that for a little while. And then we quickly started growing, and as we grew, some of those small group spaces quickly became nurseries and pre-K teaching spaces so that we could take as many children into the ministry as possible. Mix 56 is on the opposite side of the lobby, which is not where we would have wanted it originally, but that was the best place for it to be. The growing pains have been most felt in our little kids' spaces, because even though we gave up small group rooms and created more space for our birth to five-year-old group, that is the largest growing demographic of children's ministry right now. So looking into phase two, we are very excited because things are going to be changing. We are going to be moving Mix back over into Mosaic Kids so that the whole team will be there together. Our elementary group is actually going to get two new environments. Our kindergartners are going to have a space created just for them called the Garden, and that's going to be a special and flexible space for our littler kids. And then our first through fourth graders are going to get a new space called the City. And these two larger environments are going to be across from each other. And right in the center that you'll be able to see when you come in through our check-in will be the park. In Mosaic Kids, we have a saying that fun prepares the soil of the heart for whatever you're going to teach. And what could be more fun than a playground where you would least expect it, inside in the middle of a church? We're also going to be increasing all of our little kids' spaces, our pre-K rooms. We're going to have additional nurseries, toddler rooms. There's going to be a lot of exciting things going on. When we moved from Oakland, we had this beautiful outside space that we could take, especially our boys, outside with their small group leaders to play basketball before our gatherings. And while we love this building, that has been lost in this space. In our new phase, we're hoping to have a closed-in dock, and it will be called the Dock. And the dock will have basketball and different games that will not only be used by Mosaic Kids, but Mosaic students too. We get to spend time with the kids for an hour and a half every Sunday and doing everything that we can to make every moment count, because every moment does count. Whether we're sharing the gospel, whether we're playing with them, whether we're hearing about what's going on at home or how their week was, every moment with our kids counts. This space will be even more of an intentional, inspiring space for all of our families.
Phase two is going to be a wonderful thing for our kids' ministry. What I also see, it's going to be an incredibly awesome thing for our adult discipleship ministry. Right now, if someone wants to have a meeting or between our gatherings, we literally have no space to accommodate that. So those classrooms that we built off that curved hallway are going to be able to serve that purpose and meet that need. When Mix 56 moves over to the other side of the building, that opens up that classroom for just almost endless possibilities on a Sunday morning. That room right there can hold over 200 chairs, and it's just the perfect size for a discipleship space. That's going to be a room that we're going to really put a lot of pride in, and we're going to make it in something that the people really want to use.
We're also really excited about what's happening at our Walt Disney World campus. They've been meeting in a Holiday Inn for about 6 or 7 years now, and we've finally found a great new place for them to call home.
So over the last 7 years, Mosaic at WW has been meeting over at Disney Springs at the Holiday Inn Ballroom. It's given us a place right on Disney property to reach Disney cast members. It's a central location where so many cast members live around. But it hasn't always been ideal. It takes a lot of manpower to have all these volunteers do setup and tear down each and every week. And one of the more practical realities that come with being at a hotel that hosts a lot of conferences is sometimes our schedule doesn't match up with theirs. So on a few Sundays every year, we've been asked to find a different location for our weekly gatherings, which does provide some unique challenges as well with such a transient community to find a space that can house us on a weekly basis. One of those spaces has been the India Pentecostal Church that is right on 535. And it's only about 5 minutes away from the Holiday Inn, only 3 minutes away from Disney Springs. We have been able to begin having some conversations with the board over at IPC Church and talking with them about what it could look like to make that our semi-permanent home for the Disney campus. We would be able to use that space for things like weekly community events, equipping classes, discipleship groups. But what I love about it is that just like if you've ever visited the Winter Garden campus, you see that it's a space that naturally facilitates relationships with a big lobby environment, with welcoming spaces, with even the design aesthetic, speaking to the rippling out of the gospel. Those same things that are kind of a mosaic standard will be able to be present over at the Disney campus as well, create spaces and environments that are going to naturally facilitate relationships in the same way. Cast members, just like every other human on earth, longs to be known, longs for community, longs to be a part of something bigger than just themselves. What we continue to discover at the Disney campus is every moment matters. Every moment, every space that is created where cast members can engage in community and discover more of Jesus matters. So finding and creating a new home for our Disney campus is going to provide a great opportunity for the 75,000 plus Disney cast members to come and discover the hope that it's only found in Jesus.
When we finish out phase two with adult classrooms, more kids' classrooms, spaces for kids to engage their imagination and play, and even a few greatly needed offices for the team, we will really be able to get the full use of this building, both during our weekend gatherings as well as during the week. I can't wait to see the life change that happens in these new spaces as we continue to find Jesus in every moment of our journey here at Mosaic, both with adults and with kids.
So it's pretty extraordinary to just kind of watch and see what has unfolded over this space and what God is now calling us into. And as we look at the reality of these different ways that we engage, we begin to see how God is going to do this. This expanding our story is one of the examples of that, right? So obviously, the obvious is the expanded part of our facilities here to engage with those 800 kids and all the adults showing up to equip them as a family to do the great work of the gospel, and Disney campus doing the same. We also want to step out into campusing and make sure that we're engaged in other geographies of our city as more and more people like you find this place and want to drive out to it. We want to come and meet those people where they are. There are thousands of people in our city that don't yet know the extraordinary grace and love of Jesus. And there are thousands of people that know Jesus but don't realize that they are invited to be participants in the gospel. And we want to go out into our city and be a space that is safe, that can engage them and see them becoming a people that are engaged in redeeming every moment. And so we're going to do that. Finally, the Opportunity Fund, the last piece of the puzzle. This was born out of a space that the elders of our church thought, man, we really need to engage in being ready to meet those random things God brings to us that are incredible opportunities, but that we often have to try to pivot money that's already allocated to other important things to make them happen. One is the obvious we just talked about. If you're going to campus out, there will come times where an old building comes available for lease or a piece of property that makes sense in an area of our city we want to engage in, and suddenly we need a down payment for that, but we don't have it. And so we miss the opportunity because we have to go find it elsewhere. We want a fund ready to do things like that. The other space is in our local and global partnerships because guess what? Our financial support of them that is ongoing every month, sometimes they have things come up that's beyond that financial support. Who knew, right? I remember fairly recently this year, Brooke and I were in Honduras. We were with a Legacy of Hope, one of our global partners that works with children from hard places. They were in the process of renovating one of their buildings to house more children. And in the back, they have this playground. They have a playground up at their current building and they want to put another playground in. The playground was literally a mud pit. I'm not even joking, like legit mud pit. And so they're like, this is going to be our future playground. And then the leader of that ministry said, man, in a couple of months, a church is coming down with playground equipment to build the playground, but we're nervous that they're not going to be able to do it because we have to get this mud pit, we have to level it, and we have to put turf down so that when the rains come, it doesn't turn into a mud pit. Otherwise, they can't build it. So I said, man, how do we get the turf to you? Because my assumption was the reason that they were nervous it would take so long is because they couldn't get a hold of turf in Honduras. So he goes, oh, no, there's a store right here in Honduras that does the turf. So I'm like, I don't understand. Why don't you just go buy it and put it in? He's like, oh, it's expensive. So then I knew this is a money issue. So I'm like, when you're saying expensive, what would it cost to turf this entire area of this mud pit? And he said, it's going to be about $3,000. And so these were the words that just came right out of my mouth. Just order the turf and get it in. I'll call Terry Jeter. He'll wire the funds in right away. And then the next thought was, that's going to be an awkward conversation with Terry Jeter, who handles all of our finances. Not because Terry Jeter doesn't have the biggest heart in the world and doesn't want to save every global partner in their issues, but because Terry Jeter has allocated every single penny to strategic and important places, including our global partners. And now he has to go and find that $3,000 somewhere, and someone has to pay the price for that because it's already allocated. So we thought to ourselves, what would it be like to have a fund sitting there that we built over 2 years that has hundreds of thousands of dollars in it, and when a local ministry needs a van or something happens globally, we can just go, Terry, opportunity fund, pull it, send it, awesome! And we want to be able to do that. So we're going to build an opportunity fund with 5% of our annual budget, which will be hundreds of thousands of dollars in that fund to be able to move into opportunities for our partners and our campusing as they come about. And we're thrilled to be able to have that as part of our strategic ability to impact our world and expand our story. So we want to do that. So at the end of the day, this right here, expanding our story and the opportunity fund, is going to cost us $4 million over the next 2 years. So when we look at all of this, we look at the numbers on this, and we have $11 million to equip our family, and we have $2 million to impact our world, and we have $4 million to create the opportunity fund and step out. That all totals into a particular number over the next 2 years. And if you add them up, it's pretty simple. 11 plus 2 plus 4 equals 17. So $17 million will be spent over the next 2 years that God will have to bring in with us in order to realize this vision. Now, here's what makes this incredibly amazing, right? Over the last 4 years since we started Get Loud, we have spent as a church and we have brought in together as a church around $20 million. And we've spent that money on extraordinary spaces and stewarded that money for the sake of getting loud. And it turns out much of our getting loud happened in what kinds of moments? Ordinary, everyday moments. We have this book that we're going to give you. It looks like this. You're going to get it on your way out. And inside of this book, you have all of these awesome pages that are just one story after the next of what God has done over the last 4 years. And it is going to blow your mind if you are part of this church and call this home. And if you're not, it should excite you to see what God has done in and through this place over the last 4 years with the resources, time, and energy that people have poured in. Many of you who are new to the story over the last 2 years are the recipients of the labor of people's energy, time, talents, and resources given in small everyday moments to see that unfold. And because of their labor, we have a space now where God has done amazing things over the last 4 years. And I will tell you that I cannot wait to stand 4 years from now, imagining what God is about to do in and through us, and see what your collective and my collective time and energy and talent and resources have produced as God affected his faithfulness on us and through us in the way that he leads. So here's what I want you to do with this book. I want you to grab it. I want you to take it home this week. I want you to read it. I want you to read it because I want it to stir you up. I want it to spur you on. I want you to be thinking, what is my Fiesta to minivan moment, right? Where is it that I am going to engage in some crazy thing in my home or some crazy thing at my workplace or some crazy thing that I'm doing that isn't a big, giant, crazy moment, but that's just part of today, today right here. You'll read in this book ordinary moments and things that have come together. And I want you to begin to pray as a church. What am I going to engage in to become a people that focuses on and pays attention to which moments? Every one of them. Why? Because how many of them belong to Jesus? All of them. Do you get it now? We don't get to ignore any of them because they all matter, because they're all part of what he is unfolding. In this book, as part of this prayer journey of how we're going to engage in every moment, you'll see a card in the back of the book right here. That is one of the things I want you to be praying about. I want you to be praying about all the stuff in this book and what God is going to call you into as an individual or as a family in everyday moments. And then I want you to be praying about how God is going to affect everyday moments of redemption through us collectively in our bringing not only our talents and our time to the story, but also our resources. The way the resources will work are very simple. There's a little card in the back, and we do a thing here called the One Fund. We don't look at our resources from an over and above standpoint. We're doing some special projects. I know you regularly give. If you call this church home, we need you to give over and above. We don't do that. What we do is this. You pray about, I pray about what God is calling us to give over the next 2 years in our faithful tithing. And then we look at how much that tithing is collectively, and we affect a vision based on that tithing. If that tithing is 15 million, then we adjust the vision down from 17 million, and some of that stuff on those slides goes away. If the income is 25 million, then we adjust up. Why? Because we're going to have to go find some things to do. I don't know if we're going to be able to. Have you seen the world? It's a giant mess. If you all collectively, along with me, decide to give $500 million over the next 2 years, I promise you we have plenty in the world to spend it on that needs some impact. And you understand what I'm saying? So somewhere, wherever we land, we will adjust the vision and we will engage. We believe God has called us to a vision that's going to cost $17 million, and that's the vision we want to go and affect. And that's going to be us faithfully, collectively praying about two things. Where am I going to give my time and talent and energy in my everyday moments to become a world changer? And where am I going to release my resources here in the next 2 years, or how much of my resources, so that I can affect that same reality for the others around me and for this church and the new people that will come? On that little card you get in the back of the book, here's how the card works. On the back of the card, there's a little ladder. It's just a little way, and that's not actually it. This is it right here. It's just a little way for you to understand where you might be and where God might be calling you. You can read it yourself. It's pretty obvious. It starts at the bottom, and wherever you find yourself on that ladder, my challenge is that you would be praying, God, what does it look like for me to step to the next part of what generosity looks like in my life? Because part of redeeming every moment will be our collective generosity. On the back of the card, you will see a couple of categories. We just want you praying for this month about this card. Do nothing with it today. Just begin to pray. Because we as a church are going to say to one another, here's what I believe God is calling me to participate in with my resources in order to redeem every moment. You're going to have what you normally give per year if you call this place home. You're just going to look at this last year and say, this is what I normally give, with the assumption that that's what I'm going to continue to do. Then you're going to say, God has called me or us as a family to add to that normal giving. Additionally, now what I'm going to start giving from now on as part of my regular giving. You're going to put that number in. You're going to total them and multiply it by 2 years. Why? Because this is a two-year budget. $17 million is not for 1 year. It's for two, okay? Then you're going to look at December 2019. The reason we have that category in there is because when does our vision start? January what? First. It's not a trick question. January 1st, okay? But if we all start engaging with generosity in January, then we wait a few months for our global partners to get what they need, or a few months to start expanding these buildings, or a few months to start engaging in special needs with our children. We don't want to wait. So we're asking our church to consider this December as a giant primary space to be generous, to say we're going to do more than we've ever done in December, so that that December resource can go toward the launching and catalyzing of this vision on January 1st. We'd love to call global partners the last week in December and say, starting next week, we're in, we're with you, we're behind you, because our church got going. We'd love to call our contractors and say, start permitting, we're ready to roll. And so we want to do that in December. And then stored resources, very simple. They are the things in your garage that you could sell in a garage sale. They are your boats, your cars, your houses, the things that you have more than one of or two of. Now, some of you are like, I don't have another car. It's okay. I'm talking to some. Some of you just have some stuff in your garage that sits there forever. Whether you do a garage sale for $170 and that's your stored resources, or whether you move $500,000 because there's a house you've been keeping for a rainy day on a beach somewhere and you don't need it anymore, or there's a bunch of funds in a stock portfolio that you're like, you know, I only really need half of them to retire, the other half I can move, then that's fantastic. God uses all of us differently. And the $170 is no more important than the $500,000. They're just different, and they are different forms of participation. And so we're asking you, along with me, to pray about what God wants you to do. And when you do that, you're going to put stored resources, and that will total out your generosity. We're going to do this early November when we come together with these commitments. So right now, what do I want you to do with this book? Read it. And do what while you read it? Pray and ask God how you're going to redeem which moments? All of them. And then I want you to take that generosity card and say, God, how are you calling us to participate over the next 2 years in being catalysts for other people redeeming their moments and participating as a collective in impacting the world through our resources? And we are going to go and see this vision realized. And what is this vision? That we would have $17 million and become the coolest church on the planet. No, again, that is not this vision. That stuff is an irrelevancy. This vision is that we would become a church that equips our family to start focusing on how many moments? Every one of them, all of them, because they all belong to Jesus, and step into those moments. And why would we step into those moments to redeem them? Let's get back to what really matters here. You ready? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. You heard it, I read it. Who is this by? Jesus. Who is this through? Jesus. And who is this for? Jesus. Listen to this verse now. This verse follows those two verses. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now listen to this. That in everything he might be preeminent. Preeminent essentially just means that he is the head of it all, the top of it all. It's because of him. It's on him. It's his focus. He's everything. Think of preeminent as he's it. He's it. He's it. He's it. And what we want to be as a church is a people that collectively use our talents, use our time, and use our resources to ultimately lay them before the throne of God and say, God, allow us, if you would, as a collective and as individuals, to redeem every moment as we engage in releasing ourselves fully to the work you want to do in us and through us, so that in the end, it is by your power, it is through your mission, and it is ultimately for your glory alone. And if we do that, then God will, as he has in the last 4 years and in the bunch of years before that, demonstrate his faithfulness to us as he affects wondrous and amazing new stories in us and through us as we engage collectively. Folks, listen. At the end of the day, we do this as a church and come together as a church, not because we want to make sure we have enough money to do the things we want to do. That is one small part of how we go redeem stuff. Over the last 4 years, that $20 million has come in super handy to be able to affect the wondrous stories that God has done that we have recorded in this book. Over the next 2 years, we're going to take that $17 million and we're going to do the same thing we did with it. Because of you and me participating together in generosity, because of you and me participating together in time, and because of you and me participating together in talent, we are going to be allowed to be participants with God in redeeming every single moment for him. And that's what we want to be as a church. So over the next few weeks, don't miss a weekend, because we're going to be talking about much of what God has already done and much of what God is stirring in our hearts to do in the details of every moment. You're going to hear beautiful stories, see amazing things, and hear from the wonder of God's word as we unpack what it means to go out and redeem every moment. Love you guys. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your extraordinary love for us, and the way that you have in Scripture said so clearly to us that we are now participants in the gospel as those going with you by your Spirit into every moment, into every space, into every part of our life, and being redemptive on your behalf. God, whether in our homes or in our workplaces or in our neighborhoods, in our local communities, our cities, or the globe, we want to be a people that are constantly focused on what it means to redeem every moment, to be redemptive in every moment, to be conscious of every moment, so that we don't waste any of them, and that we can begin to see again how you, by your Spirit, use us not just in the extraordinary moments, but in what are seemingly ordinary ones. So God, help us as a church to be equipped to impact the world and to continue to expand the story that you've laid out for us, so that more and more people, more and more children, more and more adults, more and more students would know what it means to know you fully and to make you known fully, doing everything by your power, through your mission, and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.